This song makes me miss Scotty G. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Kalani Sitake.
Why does it make you miss Scotty G?
Because I know how much he loves it. Kalani Sitake got a chance to talk about this Georgia Southern win. It's a good, solid win. Second half, much better than the first half. We'll talk about some of the miscues in the first half that I saw. But things got better. They turned it around. They got a win against Georgia Southern. Also, Kalani Sitake getting in on the OK All Right game lately. Have you noticed that? Yeah. He's gotten in on the OK All Right game. If he keeps this up, we're going to start predicting how Kalani Sitake starts his press conferences, whether it's an OK or an All Right. But if he doesn't do it, because I think it's been like 3 or 4 weeks in a row, I'm going to say Kalani Sitake starts his presser with an OK as well, because OK seems to be the up and up. No? Does he do one of the two? Oh, okay. Never mind.
I had to listen real quick because I had noticed, and I was like, well, let me give this a listen real quick.
It had happened like 3 or 4 weeks in a row. But here's Kalani Sitake talking about a very solid win over Georgia Southern.
Come to the last game of the regular season, looking to finish it strong, and really excited about the matchup against USC. Tons of athleticism, speed. I mean, just great talent on the field. You see it on film throughout all their games all year long. And, you know, it's their senior night, so we're expecting their best shot. And I know they're still playing for bowl eligibility, so there's a lot to play for in this game. On their end, there's still a lot to play for on our end. This is an opportunity for us to get better and to finish the regular season the right way and play at our best. And looking forward to doing that. I think we'll have a good representation out in Southern California. And so looking forward to the matchup, looking forward to the game. We're going to have a lot of fun, and we have some improvement to make from last week. But coming off the bye week, I thought the guys second half played really well. Just want to keep that rolling and going into this game. So I'll take any questions you guys may have.
Great. We'll start with Alex and then Jared and Mitch. Go ahead, Alex.
Coach, good afternoon. You know, you guys obviously are playing Thanksgiving weekend, not Thanksgiving Day. But I'm kind of curious, like, when there's a game scheduled around a holiday like this, how much do you kind of, as a team, take some time to acknowledge each other, or kind of, you know, do you have a team dinner, anything like that? Seeing as how it's kind of like a holiday weekend and you guys are going to be traveling.
Yeah, we'll practice Thursday morning and then have our players go to different places. I mean, most of them have a place to go, but they're going to be, we want them in a setting around family. So they'll be with coaches' families or with their teammates just enjoying the, you know, good food and good company. And there'll be a lot of football to watch over the weekend on Thursday. So I know they'll do that. And it's a good time to just relax and to have opportunity to be thankful for a lot of different things that have gone on in their lives. I want them to reflect on that. I think our players do it often anyways. And so it's just good that we can dedicate this time to being focused on, you know, wonderful things that we have in life. So, yeah, we'll get to that. But I imagine they'll eat a lot of food and they'll have 2 days to recover from it.
And in terms of this last game of the regular season, you mentioned there are still some things to improve on. What are some of the things that you're kind of focusing on in terms of the way that you guys are playing right now? And what do you feel like maybe there's still some things to tweak or correct or what have you?
Well, I don't want to get too general because it's more specific than anything, you know, but finding ways to have our players play consistently well. And that's assignment sound with great fundamentals and great technique. And so it's the stuff that we're always focused on that. But I don't want to take away from the majority of the group that's actually doing it right. But this is a great time for us as coaches to, and we've been doing it all year long, but to keep focusing on the individual and what they can do better to improve their game week to week. And then you know, when you put all that together, it should have some success for you as a program. So, and I hate using a blanket statement to cover everyone when the majority of them are doing well. And some guys have to improve some technique, body position. Others need to improve in learning their assignments. And the coaches need to improve too. So we all have individual improvement to make. And collectively as a group, it'll make us better as a team.
Go ahead, Jared.
Kalani, gratitude's always been something important to you, and we've talked about it in times past. And, you know, as we get into this Thanksgiving week, how gratifying is it for you to see the boys develop that and develop those skills? You know, just that understanding of the importance of gratitude in their lives.
Well, I think it's part of the values that we have, and then that's the, you know, humility allows you to learn. And we've talked about being in a position to increase our love and our learn for what we do. And so, I think you can never say thank you too much. And so want these guys to be focused on that. And they are a thankful group. And so they have tons of gratitude the way they've been raised. I just want to keep reminding them why they're here and who they represent. So I think it's been a lot of fun, but I think the world would be a lot better, and programs, businesses, a lot of different groups would be better if we just focus on what we're thankful for and operate that way. And I'm lucky to have wonderful young men and wonderful people in the athletic department that are focused on being thankful and having a lot of gratitude.
I also wanted to ask about health. Obviously, Peyton Wilgar going down, another player that you've lost. Any other updates? And also, what impact does it have, you know, a guy like a Peyton that had been so big for the team?
Well, it was a huge impact losing Keenan. Keenan Peely and Keenan Ellis, you know, so we're down some starters and some valuable experience, leadership. And so their leadership still needs to happen. So we have guys like James Empey and Keenan Peely, Keenan Ellis are still around, available to help lead our team. But Peyton's going to be the same way. We just had to make a decision on the timing of everything. And this felt like it was right. And then also, I think I mentioned it before, that he was just playing with a lot of pain. And I mean, how much more do you keep making someone do that? And this is the right thing to do. He's more important than the game of football to us and our program. So we'll do whatever we can to take care of him, and his role's just changing now. He won't be on the field Saturday night, but he can have an impact in the game and have an influence on our players.
Do you have any update on some of the guys like Neil, some of those guys that you were kind of hadn't specified?
Yeah, Neil's still highly unlikely that he's going to play in this game. And same thing with James. Peyton, obviously not going to play in this game. Hoping still for some others that aren't, that are still in the mix. So, you know, we've had to shift around some pieces, and you know, what hurt, it hurt having Peyton be out, but then, and Keenan, but then all of a sudden when Max was out for the targeting, now we were down to our depth, and those guys did well. I think Ben Bywater and Morgan Piper and Drew Jensen, those guys filled in really well and made some plays. And, you know, we just have to – we get Max back, so that'll be good for this game. But we were going to go into this game ready to play, and some young guys, some other guys will have opportunities to step up. I'm looking forward to seeing them do that.
Coach, if you can get it, what would a second consecutive double-digit regular season mean to you and your program?
Oh, I'm so focused on trying to get the guys ready for being the best they can today, you know. And then the goal is this Saturday. I'm not really worried about the record or anything like that. Just trying to get our team ready to perform at our best, and we'll see what happens at the end. But I like our chances if we can do that. That's the goal.
As you noted,
really worried about overall records and things like that.
As you noted, coming in, USC's got a lot of athleticism. The record maybe doesn't highlight that talent and athleticism. Does it help to have to face a program at the end of the year that's got a historic brand to keep your players focused and dialed in and to close out the season?
Oh, we respect all the opponents that we go against. And it's not like we look at a record and then we think any less of someone. The focus is for us to be at our best, to play at our best. And we expect to get every opponent, we expect to get their best shot. We're a ranked team. And so it's not like we're hiding from anybody. Everybody knows what we're about. They see us on film. We anticipated going into that Georgia Southern game, anticipating their best shot, winning for their seniors. They wanted to perform at their best. And we didn't do that in the first half. We did that in the second half, and grateful we got the win. But the goal here is to focus on what we see on film. That's great athleticism, great talent, and a team that has a lot to play for. And so we're expecting their best shot. We need to make sure that they get ours as well.
Okay, we'll have questions from Jay Drew and then Jake.
Kalani, with obviously it looks like you're headed to the Independence Bowl, but there's still the outside shot of maybe a New Year's Six game in this college football playoff rankings and how that all pulls into it. Are you talking to your team at all about that? Are you guys spending any time at all even discussing that?
What do you think the answer is to that, Jay?
Probably not, but if I could rephrase that, Ben, what are the stakes in this game Saturday as opposed to moving forward to your possible postseason destination?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go back. I think I'm always going to say, and you're probably sick of hearing me saying it, but guys, that's what we focus on is the here and now. I know that everyone wants to talk about possibilities and future opponents and things like that, but we're focused on this game and this opportunity. That's the best way to show gratitude is enjoy the moment, enjoy the day. Why worry about Tuesday when you have the rest of Monday to focus on? So our goal is to try to be razor sharp and focused and have this vision on taking it day to day with the long-term goal, which is the game on Saturday night. We're looking forward to seeing a bunch of our fans there, and we want to entertain them and show them a good time. And we also want to make sure that we're performing at our best. That's the goal. My focus as a head coach is to keep these guys, just thinking about the game now and thinking about day-to-day improvement.
And then I wanted to ask you about going into the Coliseum. The last time BYU went in 2003, I think, was the year after you were a grad assistant there at BYU. I think you had moved on to SUU, but obviously you went there with the Utes a lot. What are you going to tell your team about it? What's it like going into that place?
Yeah, it's a great event, a great place for events, and obviously for football, it's a place that the guys are used to seeing on TV, and I want them to embrace the setting. And that's the whole point of showing gratitude, having a good time with it, and embrace the opportunity to have to play in that stadium. And they'll look around and they'll see a lot of blue and they'll see all the wonderful, they'll remember all the wonderful athletes and great talent that have been on that field. And so they can add this to their list of where they play, got to play. And that's, it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's embrace the moment, have fun with it.
Kalani, can you just give us a scouting report of what you see from USC on film? I know they've had some of their bigger players lost for the season, like a Drake London, the receiver, but what do you see from them on film?
Tons of talent. There's no lack of talent. They're going to be well coached and they'll be ready for this game. You see all the speed on the field. I mean, that's a very talented team and they're well coached. I mean, they have some former Cougars on their staff too. So we know that they'll know a little bit more about us. And I know a lot of guys on that staff that I know how they coach and they'll have the guys ready to roll. So what you see on film is what you're going to get and you're going to get the best of them. And we're prepared. We're going to be prepared for that.
And also just asking you about that, they're a program in transition, looking for a new head coach and all that. How difficult is that, do you think, for guys to be able to understand that this is the last game of the season and their job status is very much up in the air?
Well, I think the sense of urgency to perform, they know it's coming to an end. I mean, that's how it is everywhere. The season's coming to an end and guys want to finish strong. That's not just what we're saying. It's every program in that's playing college football is saying it right now, you know, so regardless of their record. So the anticipation for us is that we're going to get their best, and their best is really, really good. And you see it on film when they put it together, man, they can be very dangerous. And we have to be prepared for that. We have to plan on that taking place Saturday night.
Here we got questions from Alex and then Caleb.
Coach, a local kid now plays at USC, Jackson Dart. He had his first start, I think, against USC last week. It's possible that he plays against you guys on Saturday. I'm curious kind of what you see from him, and I think that you guys try to recruit him. So what are the things that you kind of might see from Jackson Dart in particular, in terms of how he can affect play on the field?
Yeah, great player. Yeah, we recruited him, and he's got a wonderful family. He's been trained really well. He's got great football IQ, good presence on the field. He can hurt you with his arm, and he can run as well. So put that all together and surround him with a physical, athletic O-line and capable receivers and ball carriers. They have every bit of our attention. And knowing that kid and being around him and talking to him in the recruiting process, you know he'll be ready for this. He's a big-time player. And looking forward to seeing him, you know, and always wishing him the best in every game except for this one. So, but he's a great young man and a great talent. And so it'd be a lot of fun to see him on the field and to see, you know, our teams compete.
Okay, we got time for a question from Mitch.
Yeah, Kalani, with recruiting, I know games don't necessarily determine recruiting battles or anything like that, but next to the state of Utah, is Southern California one of those bigger recruiting grounds for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, there's a strong membership in the area, and so there happen to be a lot of great players there that are members and non-members. So the talent, football talent, is really strong in California, and so we're going to try to find the best players everywhere. We have a good number of our players from the state too, and from Southern California. So it's a lot of fun when you get to, you know, play in front of the local. You know, for these guys with a lot of their friends and families going to be at that game. So it's a lot of fun, and you know, regionally we're close to them. So you know, this will be something that I think the guys are really excited about, getting back to Cali and playing this game.
And last thing, Kalani, what do you credit right now in BYU athletics? There's a lot of momentum, a lot of success pretty much around the entire athletic department. What do you credit the success that's suddenly happening for basically every BYU sport right now?
There's a lot of really good things happening from the leadership, from the administration, from our president, our vice president, and the administration, our AD. All that stuff is going really well. There's great people that are here working and, you know, on campus. And they're just, and when you combine that with really, really awesome student athletes, your teams can have success here at BYU. And those things are really important, but I'm going to have to tell you that the number one thing are the fans. That's a common denominator between all the sports, is that you have this unbelievable support from the fans and from our student section. That is it's a huge advantage. I mean, I don't know how many we had in Georgia for that game, but it was above 10,000, and they make a lot of noise, and their support is unbelievable. And so I think that doesn't get mentioned enough, but the fan base is unbelievable. And I think all the sports want to keep their fans happy. And so we're hoping to continue doing that. And as a football program, we're hoping to do that in Southern California on Saturday night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
man, there are a lot of things going well for BYU, and they need to wrap it up the right fashion with their football team. I know there's some good things going on with BYU basketball. That's on Sports Roulette. That's on the wheel. We'll see if it hits, and we'll talk more about BYU basketball. But really, you need this football program to finish solid. You need them to get a good dominant win over USC, roll the dice, see if they've got any shot at any type of New Year's, anything. But most importantly, it's probably going to be the Independence Bowl. It's probably going to be Texas San Antonio at 12-0, and they need to take care of business and finish off the year strong that way. So they do have some things in front of them that they need to do to keep that momentum going, and we'll talk about their ability to do so coming up throughout the week. We'll take a quick break. We've got Andrew Reinert from Wasatch Medical Clinic hanging out with us, 801-901-8000. Andrew, how can you help our listeners?
Well, if you're out there frustrated in the bedroom, that is what Wasatch Medical Clinic specializes in. Most men are used to the pill, the pharmacy, taking more and more of the pill until it stops working. And that's where we come in with a technology that is helping not just men in Utah, but all over the country. It's called Wave Therapy. It's backed by a Cambridge study and about 50 others showing it repairs and opens up blood vessels and improves circulation enough, we can reverse the ED. We do it without any pills, no side effects. It's just more blood flow when the timing is right.
How many people are out there taking that pill, trying to help themselves?
Millions and millions and millions. I hate to say this, but I think all men at some point in their life will have some form of ED, so it is so common, and a lot of guys are struggling.
You think about you're reliant on a pill, and nothing can be in the moment, romantic in the moment. That's got to be really frustrating for men.
Yeah, that's right. What happens is that men play a big timing game. They take the pill, and then an hour goes by, 2 hours go by. They don't know if it will work, when it will work, and it stops working eventually. Not a good solution, not long-term, and there's no spontaneity.
Check it out at 801-901-8000. This is Wasatch Medical Clinic. Andrew Reinert has been providing an option for men out there in their ED for a lot of years now. And he's been a part of the Hans and Scotty Show for a lot of years. And I know he's helped a lot of our listeners. He can help you too. 801-901-8000. Call Andrew, call Wasatch Medical Clinic, and get things started now. That's 801-901-8000. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you.
More Hans and Scotty coming up.
This is DJ and PK. Nick Ford, Utah offensive lineman. So I am curious on the play of the game there. Are you standing up on the sideline and Covey whooshes by you and you get all the adrenaline and all that? Or you're big, tired offensive lineman and you're sitting down on the bench and your teammates block you from the whole thing and you watch it on the scoreboard?
I was up. I was ready to go because we were about to go on the field and we knew we wanted to score before the half again. You know, when it happened, I was like, oh my God, this can't be real. Because I had talked to Covey at about 8 o'clock in the morning that day. And I was like, Covey, for some reason, I have a feeling like you're going to get one today on special teams. It's been a minute, and I think you're going to get one today. He's like, all right, let's do it. So then right after he scored, I was like, Covey, what I tell you, bro? He's like, I know. It was awesome.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Sports Roulette brought to you by Davis Vision. Black Friday deals at Davis Vision. Give them a call, 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080. That's where my wife got her LASIK. And it's awesome. because when you get your LASIK done at Davis Vision, you go in for a yearly check, they guarantee your vision. If your vision starts to slip, then they repair the vision for free. It's awesome. They guarantee their work at Davis Vision. Robin's the best. Davis Vision's the best. Call them. 801-253-3080. We have a sports roulette wheel that is packed to the brim. We've got no time to waste. Lloyd, spin it.
Food poisoning or bad basketball?
So during the Sacramento Kings-Utah Jazz game on Saturday, a courtside fan who was sitting by other fans, and yes, there were Sacramento fans there, he got violently ill. And he's sitting right by the scores table, and all of a sudden, you see him lean over, and my goodness, that guy was full of something. Just full of the goods. He ate a whole Thanksgiving meal before he came to that game. And then it looks like he may have kicked it all back with a little extra grandpa's cough medicine, if you know what I mean. And he just leaned over in his seat, and people started to get up and look at him like, whoa. And the officials called a stop to the game, and they came over. And how long was the stoppage on that, Lloyd? That was a long stoppage.
Yeah, it was a little bit. They had a little bit of cleanup to do.
Oh.
Okay, maybe not a little bit. It was a lot of cleanup.
I can't believe how much it that guy had ended. In his belly. He ate an unhealthy amount or drank an unhealthy amount.
Yeah, I'd say he drank an unhealthy amount.
But there was a lot of stuffing in that. Like, it's horrible. If you go to a NBA game and you're sitting courtside,
behave.
Just behave.
Be limited. Just know that all the cameras are essentially showing you nonstop.
Okay, but don't you know, like, when something's coming? Don't you? I've got a good sense. Over the years, I've built a good sense of, oh, it's coming. And I've got to get myself to a spot where I'm not puking onto an NBA court. Like, I would have rather turned and puked into the stands or into the bleachers or onto the broadcast team. But I don't want to puke out onto the court. That's worst case. They shut the game down. You could have done something to – I would have grabbed a bag of popcorn or I'd have done something.
That guy will forever – I mean, he will be remembered. I mean, the camera just sat there on him the entire time, watching him just puking.
Hey, so the person that wrote the story on this, the opening line to the story is, the Sacramento Kings have been making their fans puke for years. Yes. That is such a great opening line. Do you realize, Mr. Cole, that the Kings have not made the postseason since 2006? Do you realize I was just playing my final year of professional football the last time the Sacramento Kings made it to the postseason? That's the last time they made it.
I knew it was a long time ago, but when you put it into those and put it like that,
yeah,
like
yeah, you and
were
I have
just
been
wrapping up. We were just getting ready to start a career together.
You and I have been doing radio for what, 12 years?
Yeah,
I think 12 years.
12 or 13
with a 2-year break in the middle. But
bad choice by you.
Do you realize through all this time, the Kings have never made it? 2006. And here's some of their records in that empty stretch. 17-65. 24-58. 22-44. 28-54. 28-54. 29-53. 27-55. 31-41. 31-41. Those are the records.
This guy will forever be a meme for, let's just say, a record like that. When the season ends and it's a bad record like that, you're going to see this fan in meme form. Or a really bad performance.
Oh.
And you're going to see that fan after any bad Kings, which is going to happen a lot because it's the Kings.
Yeah.
After any bad Kings performance, you're going to see that fan puking.
Like on a meme?
Like on a meme. Or a GIF.
Oh, no, he's going to become legendary.
No, he's going to be, yeah.
It says it all without saying a lot, you know?
Yeah. Bad performance. Hooah.
Yeah.
Bad shooting night.
It is disgusting. disgusting. I suggest nobody go and watch it.
Bad regular season record. Blah.
But I will retweet it. It needs to be retweeted because it is sports news.
If I'm that guy, see, that was his last game that he's ever will go to.
Oh, there's got to be some repercussion.
You can't show up. You can't show up again.
Yeah, you can't just go firing your lunch all over a court and get away with it.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, you're not gonna. I wouldn't show up ever again. Personally,
no, heck no.
I'm just not showing up again. I'm just like, yeah, that was a fun. Thanks for the courtside seats. If you got them from a buddy, I'd be like, yeah, sorry, that was me.
Could you imagine?
Thanks for the seats. I really appreciate it. I'm sorry what I did.
You let your drunk buddy take your season tickets for one game, and that's what he does? Oh, that's so bad. Hey, speaking of the Jazz, they are on the wheel. Spin it, and let's keep our fingers crossed.
Jazz tonight.
So, Lloyd, speaking of the Utah Jazz, they've got a game tonight against Memphis, but hoo boy.
How are they shooting?
Hoo boy. I say hoo boy because we made a little bet 3 games ago. Here's their perimeter percentages. 42.1% from the 76ers, 41.3% versus the Raptors.
Oh, but they came way down in the next game, didn't they?
Actually, they had their best shooting performance of the entire year, collectively as a team, from the perimeter at 43.6%.
Ooh, doggy.
Yeah. The Utah Jazz have found their way, and everyone is having a good time out on the court right now. All the percentages are starting to creep up. And now, Lloyd, they were down in the bottom 27, 28 in the NBA in 3 percentage. Now they're at 34% as a team, and they're kind of looming in that 17, 18, 19 range.
Climbing.
So they dug themselves a big, deep hole, and now they're digging themselves out.
Oh, yeah, they were horrendous that first part of the season.
Really bad.
Like really,
all of them too.
Terrible.
Like everybody except for Mike Conley, their numbers were in the toilet, and they are continuing to climb out of that toilet. But
there was no way they could stay where they were at. They shot too good for the season last year. There's just no way they're going to stay right there.
Not a chance.
I didn't think Gorgeous Niang was the difference in why they suddenly dropped off a cliff.
But they do get a chance to come home, and this is going to kind of continue their home streak that they've had. They just had that one road game in the middle of a puking session in Sacramento. Other than that, they had 5 games at home. And
tonight's a fun one, by the way.
Tonight is a fun one.
Because that was, even though they dominated that series, like it felt like it was closer than it really was.
Yeah, tonight's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. Get a.
So, Lloyd, they come home tonight against Memphis, then they're on the road to OKC, and then they get another 4 games at home to finish out November and start December. So those numbers, to you and Scotty's point, those numbers should continue to look better and better and better. But the Grizzlies tonight should be a fun matchup. The Grizzlies right now, 8-8 on the season. They bring kind of an array of athletes and players onto the court, including Ja Morant. We all know what his game is. Steven Adams will be on the court, of course, with the Memphis Grizzlies. You've got kind of it's actually a mix with some really solid shooting, some big man ability, and then you throw a guy like Desmond Bane in there who is a creator and can do so many things at that guard position. This is really going to be a good test for the Utah Jazz tonight here at Vivint Arena. All right, Lloyd, let's spin it one more time.
BYU men's basketball gets some recognition.
Well, they finally get the recognition that they deserve after beating Oregon the way they beat Oregon and beating Central Methodist this past week. So BYU starts the season out 4-0, and it has now propelled them up into the top 25, checking in at number 18. This is the third week, and the BYU Cougar basketball team checks in at number 18. It's a good team, Lloyd. It's a really good team. And the way they dismantled Oregon was very impressive. I don't know how good a team, because I don't know if they faced a team that is a matchup nightmare for them where they find a couple of holes, but it does feel like it's a complete team. High-level shooting ability. Great leadership.
The Oregon beat writer. They're not
An overrated?
Overrated team.
Yeah, he didn't,
no,
Phil.
No. He thought, you know, BYU came out and had a great game plan and outplayed them in every aspect.
I do feel like both Oregon basketball and Oregon football is a bit overrated. I do. But with that being said, they're still both good teams. And Utah beating the Oregon football team up like it wasn't even on the field, and BYU basketball dismantling Oregon the way they did on the basketball court. I got to imagine that university's like, screw it, man. We are no longer playing anybody from the state of Utah this year. Like, that makes you gun shy. And the Oregon Ducks have to get back on a football field here in a couple of weeks against that Utah football team.
Uncle Phil's got to be thinking like, what am I putting all this money into you guys for?
Yeah.
Phil, what are you doing?
Phil Knight's going to take his Nike gear and head south.
Only he wasn't an alumni. He would.
Going to go looking for a California team to sponsor. But the Oregon Ducks were beat up badly, and it was nice to see the BYU Cougars check in at number 18. All right, we're over time. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and get you ready for Unrivaled.
This is DJ and PK.
Samson Nacua joining us, BYU wide receiver. Kalani, you know, has put together two very good seasons, obviously, and he's drawn some interest. What would you say to the administration as far as them making more of a financial commitment to the program to make sure Kalani stays?
It would be in their best interest to keep him. Me and my brother played at different programs, and we loved it there. But coming back down here, it was a different vibe. The love, the friendship that we have with not just the team, but our coaches, and doesn't even feel like it's a coach and player bond. It just feels like we're friends and that we can talk to each other about anything, whether it be football or life. It's a lot bigger than football around here, and it just means a lot more to players, I think, and they got to keep a man like that because he makes a bigger impact than people know.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Again, really excited for the Utah Jazz and Memphis Grizzlies. That is tonight, a 7 o'clock tip. Make sure you catch that one here at Vivint Arena. Utah Jazz should do well, but you know, this is a Memphis team that got a nice win over the Clippers a couple days ago. They had back-to-back wins over the Denver Nuggets. Looked very solid in those back-to-back wins. They have a really good win over the Timberwolves, and right now 8-8, second in the Southwest Division, so it should be a very good matchup. Plus, it's always fun to watch Ja Morant. He's really good at the game of basketball. Hey, Lloyd, I wanted to throw this at you because I thought it was kind of interesting. You know how we always throw the hypothetical out there?
Watch how you throw, because I don't want you hurting your back.
No, I know. Do you know how we always throw the hypothetical question out there of, okay, Utah, you could either beat BYU and struggle in a season or lose to BYU, win the Pac-12, and go to a Rose Bowl. And most everybody says, hey, we'll take the loss to BYU and the run in conference and a run to the Rose Bowl. We're kind of watching that scenario play out a little bit right now.
Right.
Because this Utah team, by all accounts, really should win this conference and win that Pac-12 championship game. They really should. If that was a gimmicky win against Oregon, if I saw Oregon with four turnovers and Utah with three or four gadget plays for 65-yard-plus gains, and I felt like that was a gimmicky win, then I'd look at that championship game and I'd say, boy, I don't know, it's really hard to beat a team twice. But when I saw the fundamental workings of great blocking schemes – and just solid strength domination, really taking the quarterback equation out of it. You didn't have a single completion to a wideout in that game. Not one completion to a non-slot wideout.
Like, would you say that game where they went and beat the heck out of them in Oregon, you remember where the fake punt return, a fake punt.
Yep.
By Tom Hackett. Wasn't that Tom?
I think so.
That one felt more, one of those Ray guys. More gimmicky.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that one felt like a more gimmicky, like, I mean, they came out and they had a good game plan, but it felt like there was more gimmicks to it.
Yep. No gimmicks to this one. So, and the way they did it with the blocking scheme, if you didn't hear me talking about some of the blocking schemes, what was that? I think it was the 12:30 segment that we went into that. You can go back to the 12 o'clock hour podcast. I went into some of the blocking schemes in detail, some of the personnel groups, and what they were doing in formations to get the yardage. But this was just an overall dominant win. Controlled time of possession, controlled the ball, no turnovers. Wins in the special teams categories? Yes, you heard me correctly. They had wins in the special teams. They had a blocked field goal. They had a punt return for a touch. They had wins in the special teams. They knocked through a field goal. It was awesome to see that. So I'm sure Oregon is licking their wounds, and I don't think they want any of Utah's business.
We talked a little bit about that in the morning after podcast in the evening, about what that does to Oregon's mentality.
Yeah.
Like when you take a beating like that, and it was like, I mean, it's a beating. There was nothing you could do to change the outcome of that game. They were more physical in every aspect. They had a better game plan. And when a team does that to you, you just put your tail between your legs and you want to move on. You don't even want any part of that.
Yeah, but you don't want to play them again. That's
no,
you don't want to see them again.
You don't.
And they're going to have to. Big thanks to everybody for joining us today. Really do appreciate it. Great stuff by James Impey. You can catch that at 1280thezone.com. And obviously, big thanks to Andrew Reiner and Wasatch Medical Clinic. They do such a great job for our listeners. 801-901-8000. Andrew, one last shot at it. How are you doing, man?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Just excited to help our listeners if they're out there struggling. I know that's one area that it can be embarrassing, and it can affect a marriage. And I know that you and Wasatch Medical Clinic just want to help if you can.
That's exactly right. ED, in my opinion, has a far-reaching ripple effect. When things don't go so well in the bedroom, they tend to kind of not go so well outside of the bedroom. And intimacy, the relationship, overall happiness even is affected. If this is ringing true, if you're out there listening and you're frustrated, our technology, the acoustic wave therapy, backed by 50 studies, including from Cambridge and the Cleveland Clinic, it's working, guys. It's helping so many men improve the circulation, improve performance in the bedroom, and we do it without using a single chemical.
801-901-8000. Stop with the pills. Stop with the injections. Check out what Andrew Reiner and Wasatch Medical Clinic can do for you. Just call them 801-901-8000. Andrew, thank you so much for all you do for our listeners. We'll send them out your way. And one last thing, give us some of those freebies, some of the incentives that guys are going to get when they call in.
Yes, thanks for having me. It's the last chance of the day, guys. Give us a call. Assessment, exam, blood flow, ultrasound, all free. The gift that never fails, or almost never fails, produces immediate results to intimacy, and blood work and testosterone. This is a huge one. Blood work and testosterone, free today as well.
801-901-8000. Blood work and testosterone for free. Give them a call. Andrew, as always, thank you so much.
Really appreciate you having me. Thanks, guys.
We'll hand it off to Unrivaled coming up next, 97.5, 1280 The Zone on The Zone Sports Network.